On Sunday, in a tweet, the president tweeted, "Democrats are smiling in D.C. that the Freedom Caucus, with the help of Club for Growth and Heritage Foundation, have saved Planned Parenthood and O-Care." Then, the next day, Steve Bannon advised Trump to keep a list of lawmakers and organizations that oppose the bill for future retribution. Then, Reince Priebus took to Twitter and said this, "I think the president is 100% correct, and he hits the bullseye in that tweet." Well, as I'm reading this, I'm looking for Jim DeMint or somebody from the Heritage Foundation and see their response. You know that nobody has reached out to the Heritage Foundation or Jim DeMint and said, "Hey, how do you guys feel about now being on the enemies list?" Nobody's reported on that. We decided to get Jim DeMint on the phone. He'll respond right now. I will make a stand. I will raise my voice. I will hold your hand. Because we have won. I will beat my drum. I have made my choice. We will overcome. Because we are one.
The fusion of entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Jim DeMint, welcome to the program. How are you, sir?
Hey, Glenn, I'm doing well, and I've been on a lot of enemies lists before. So
I know you. I know you have. And, Jim, you know what's amazing is that you and the Heritage Foundation have taken a different approach than I have. You've taken what they're saying now is, hey, you don't always get what you want, and you got to take what you have and try to make it better. And that has been your approach with Donald Trump. You guys were never, never Trump. And you said when he became the nominee, okay, let's try to take what he's doing and make it better. So you've been there in the trenches trying to help and trying to get things passed. Now they give you a crap sandwich and tell you that it's a steak sandwich when you just wanted steak. Okay, well, I'll take the steak sandwich, but it's a crap sandwich, and now blame you for not eating it.
Yeah, well, that's the way Washington works. But, Glenn, seriously, I mean, this is something that a lot of us, millions of Americans, have worked on for many years to repeal Obamacare. And the House had passed a number of repeal bills while Obama was president to show 60. Us what they would do. So we had an expectation that these bills would come through the first week after Trump was inaugurated. But nothing came through for 4, 5 weeks, 6 weeks. And then suddenly this bill came out, which was not a repeal of Obamacare. It was more of a reform of Obamacare. All the architecture is still there, the subsidies, the Medicaid expansion, the heavy federal regulations. Now, you can honestly say it's a little better than Obamacare, but it is not a bill that creates a patient-centered, market-based healthcare system that allows innovation and pushes prices down. That's our primary concern, Glenn, is there's nothing here that's going to lower the cost of health insurance and health care. And a year from now, the prices are going to keep going up, and it's going to be Trump care or Ryan care or whatever they call it. So obviously we're disappointed, but I'm disappointed even more to be told by some in the House that most of the Republicans actually want a federally regulated insurance market, which is going to be a disaster. So I don't know what else to say.
So where do we go? Explain to people who are saying, and I don't think there's very many. I mean, 17% of the American people are for this. 17. Talk to those 17% who are saying, you know what, we got to get something. I mean, this is better than nothing.
Well, you know, I understand the sentiment, and we're tempted ourselves, but at Heritage, we just look at the policy. I know there's a politic involved that this is the best they can do in the House. I don't frankly believe that. Only 18 months ago, every Republican voted for a repeal bill that was sent through the House and the Senate under reconciliation, and it went to President Obama to veto. If that's where we started, it doesn't fix every problem with our healthcare system, but at least it changes the subject from whether we're going to repeal or not to how can we make our healthcare system work for every American. So, if you want to make a case, this is tweaked around the edges. It's a little better than the current Obamacare bill, but the fact that it leaves all the architecture in place means that every year we're going to be debating in Congress how much more subsidy do we give people, how much more do we expand Medicaid, and how much more do we regulate insurance. Instead of pushing it back to the states as we promised, let states regulate insurance, let them innovate, let young people buy pared-down policies that are less expensive. We just need a market-based system. Otherwise, we're not going to be able to afford health insurance.
Jim, what do you think of Mo Brooks and his one-line repeal that just basically says everything that was passed and everything that it touched and augmented is restored to what it was originally, and everything that was passed is repealed? It's I don't remember exact word verbiage, but it's one line. Why can't we pass that?
I like that. They will tell you you cannot do that with the 51 votes under reconciliation, that you basically have to repeal a large part of the guts of Obamacare and then begin working to try to get some things passed that would get 60 votes, because none of the Democrats are going to vote for anything that has a repeal in it. But my conviction is if they do the repeal, then if you want to do refundable tax credits, you can get Democrats to help you with that. You can get Democrats to help you with Medicaid expansion. Anything that spends money, you can get Democrats to help you with. But if you try to ball it all up like they did in the House, you can't get the Democrats to help you.
So then why can't we pass what has already been passed?
Well, that was a question that we've been asking, and there are different stories about that. Some say the conservatives wouldn't vote for it. I don't believe that. I think if the Republican leadership got up and said, listen, this is what we passed, this is what we promised when we campaigned, let's get this done, and then we'll go back and continue to make our system better.
Why wouldn't the conservatives be for something that's passed 60 times in the House?
Well, I think they would. There are just some folks saying that the conservatives said they wanted more in this bill. But I think if they had it to do over again, they would have passed. They would have taken the bird in the hand instead of the two in the bush. And what they've done is come out with something that is not good policy, and they're saying take it or leave it. And they're trying to basically destroy these patriots in the House Freedom Caucus. And Glenn, you know what it's like to be abused and have all the media coming after you and saying things that aren't true.
No.
But there's nothing that the House Freedom Caucus is doing that's not consistent with the Republican platform, that's consistent with limited government and individual freedom and free markets. That's what they're standing for right now, and they're being vilified by everyone from the Wall Street Journal to all the leadership. And I just hope Americans will pray for them, because I know what it's like to be in that hot box when you have to have lunch with these people every day.
I have to tell you, Jim, I've done a couple of things, as you have as well. I've taken it from the media and I've taken it from the left. That's not nearly as concerning to me as taking it from your own side, who has flipped and no longer even understands, you know, what the problem with populism and nationalism is. I'm more concerned about standing up to our own side.
Yeah, well, that's been, when I was fighting earmarks, for instance, most of the opposition was from the senior Republican budget people or appropriators. Mm. And you just take a lot of abuse because you're taking away their candy. And we have to continue to fight. I told folks when Trump won the election that the only thing we won was a chance to get out of the stands and onto the field. The real fight is now. I never expected this to be easy. Trump seemed much more open to work with us on changes than we had from folks in the House. But we're going to have to keep fighting, and I hope they'll put some kind of better health care bill back on the floor. But if we go to tax reform, we need to make sure we don't make the same mistakes.
Are you concerned that he's reaching out to the Democrats?
Yes, I'm concerned, because I think if he sees that he can get things done better by working with them, and Bush did that too. He worked with moderates and Democrats to do No Child Left Behind and Medicare Part D, and it just didn't turn out well for Republicans. I mean, we created more entitlements, and So what the House Freedom Caucus, in my mind, has saved Republicans from themselves, and I hope that we can come around to at least doing something that's consistent with federalism, that moves some of this back to the market and back to the states. Because if we try to regulate insurance at the federal level, it's going to be a federal utility that just gets more and more regulated and more expensive. That's what happens to everything we regulate up here. So we're going to keep fighting. Despite all the abuse, I appreciate you at least letting us get a little more of the truth out here, because on a pure policy basis, this is a small step away from Obamacare, and we promise to do a lot more than that, and I still think we can.
We're talking to Jim DeMint from the Heritage Foundation. Jim, what is with these artificial deadlines? Why did this have to be so rushed? Why couldn't they spend some time with this and do it right? Was there any reason this had to be decided by, like, right now? And then they also act as if it was just this one chance and now we're done and we're moving on to something else. Why is that?
Well, again, the best thing to do would have been the first week after inauguration was to pass the bill they already, all the Republicans had voted for, and then proceed from there. But what happens is they're using this budget mechanism called reconciliation that expires actually in May. And so in order to get something through the House and the Senate have its 2 weeks of debate, they need to get it done in order to try to pass something with 51 votes. So they are running out of time, and they're going to have to do the same thing on tax reform, is pass another budget.
Wow.
Have you heard that tax reform now, they're talking about tying tax reform to the $1 trillion stimulus?
I've heard that, and I hope they don't do that, because there are ways to get $1 trillion in infrastructure without another federal dollar being spent. If you get the federal regulations out of it, send it back to the states, and allow more public-private partnerships, we can accomplish the goal without another federal boondoggle, because that's essentially what President Obama did. He called it an infrastructure project, and it turned out as all these monies just went into state pension plans and other things that didn't do anything for the economy.
I don't know how you're going to answer this. It may not be a fair question. Are you?
That's never stopped you in the past.
I know. Are you as optimistic as you were at the beginning of this administration?
Yes, I am, Glenn, and because I know that there's a whole lot going on that's not in the press. I know we were able
good
to
things?
Help.
Good things?
Good things coming out of the agencies, what Jeff Sessions is doing, and injustice is good. There's some better things coming out of the State Department, although they haven't got the staffing they need to do it. But there are a lot of regulatory things that are being stripped down. I know there are a lot of good people in the administration, because a lot of them came from Heritage. We lost a lot of good people. So under the radar, without a lot of media attention, the Trump administration is doing a lot of good things. Now, these bigger things like tax reform and health care, we need to do. Otherwise, the Republicans are going to get wiped out in the next election, and the economy is going to continue to flounder. Mm-hmm. So we've got to get our act together, but we can't go forward with this idea of come out with something designed for liberal Republicans and then try to guilt the conservatives into voting for it. That's not going to work.
Right.
Jim DeMint, we're talking to from the Heritage Foundation. Jim, the tax plan, as we move on to tax reform, proposed by Trump during the campaign, had a top rate of 25% and a top business rate of, I believe, 15%. Do you believe that that's going to be the basis of this tax reform, or is that kind of campaign promise no longer in effect?
It'll be close to that. I think Kevin Brady has a plan in the House that's a good plan. It's got some border-adjusted thing that's pretty controversial. So I think what they're talking about now is, can they pass it and take that out? So I believe Trump's plan and the House plan is fairly consistent. And hopefully they'll come out with something that's bold. That's what Trump needs. You know, this health care bill was not a Trump property. And when he went out and tried to sell something that was kind of low risk, just low expectations, it just didn't work for him.
Right.
I think if he takes a bold stand and goes out there that he might actually get excited about it and get the American people excited.
Yeah, when he built the, some of the golf courses around that he actually did, they're pretty bold and spectacular. But when he tries to schlep somebody else's idea, Trump University, it doesn't go well. Thank you so much, Jim. I appreciate it. Jim DeMint.
Thanks, Glenn.
You bet, from the Heritage Foundation. First time to talk about the comments that the president has made about the Heritage Foundation being at fault. Nobody has called to get their response. That's incredible. Mm-hmm.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
You're having aneurysms.
Yeah.
Welcome to the program. Glad you're here.
That's why we need health care reform.
Yeah, that's right. I love this. This is from Red State. This is from Jay Caruso. There doesn't have to be a struggle for conservative media in the age of Trump. When I joined Red State in September 2015, I wasn't directed to write favorably or unfavorably about any of the GOP candidates for president. I wasn't asked, who do you support? Over time, I became increasingly hostile to the idea of a Trump candidacy. In December 15, I wrote I wouldn't support him as president. That decision was mine. While the bulk of writers at Red State held the same position, we're not monolith. That attitude of independence continued through the nominating process into the general election campaign and still exists today. The Hill has a piece wherein they spoke to several conservative media outlets, not Red State, regarding the supposed difficulty there is in adjusting to Donald Trump. One of the issues I have with the piece is the conflation of sites like Gateway Pundit and Breitbart with the Washington Free Beacon. The former two are not conservative media outlets as much as they are mouthpieces for Trump. The editor-in-chief of Free Beacon made an excellent point when he said conservative media has always been held to a higher standard than the liberal media. And as conservatives, we have to live up to that higher standard. When we don't, it not only undermines our work as journalists, but also the conservative project as a whole. He's right. Outlets such as Gateway Pundit and Breitbart do a disservice to the conservative media outlets because they behave more like palace guards than journalists. A lot of so-called, according to John Ziegler, a lot of so-called conservative media is acting like a dog that caught the car. Now they don't know what the hell to do. They're completely confused because they've never been in this situation before. Well, they shouldn't be confused, he writes. If they're confused, it's because they value access and traffic more than they should value, above all else, the truth. It's not a challenging endeavor for any journalist, whether they're a reporter or an opinion writer. However, people struggle with it anyway, and that, above all else, does a disservice to conservative media in the same way it does to the mainstream media. How can conservatives and media point fingers if they're prone to engaging in exactly the same behavior they decry? There's a tendency, based on the loathing of the mainstream media and Democrats for conservative outlets, to enter into a knee-jerk defense of Donald Trump. There's a difference between hypocrisy and dishonesty. The media attempt to turn the dismissal by Trump of 46 Obama-era U.S. attorneys into a scandal was an exercise in hackery. It was a moment of ordinary becoming extraordinary. The scandal died a quick death with good reason, because it was nonsense. But that differs from hypocrisy. There is no confusion. Favor the truth over access and traffic. Amen. Back in a minute.
This is the Glenn Beck Program. Mercury.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
I'm just reading the craziest story I think I've ever read. This is crazy. Just listen to this headline. A new plan to hang a wandering skyscraper from an asteroid orbiting Earth is unveiled. 2021, NASA, for some reason, is like, hey, can we retrieve an asteroid? Can we put an asteroid in? Let's put an asteroid in orbit. Hey, let's not. Let's not have any giant rocks hanging out. Mm-hmm. Let's just let them go by. Mm-hmm. What do you say? You want to put it in orbit of Venus? Try that first. Not of Earth. I remember something about dinosaurs and an asteroid, but that's a different story. Let's leave the frickin' asteroid alone.
Or more recently, Bruce Willis's historic...
That was not a documentary. So the asteroid in 2021, now they're saying Dubai has a history of building these great skyscrapers. They want to build one in reverse. And it will be, I don't even know how many stories.
A lot. It's going to be a giant skyscraper in space.
It goes from space to just above the cities, okay? So it'll and it will make a giant figure eight pattern every day, and it will be like from New York down to Brazil and back. So you look out your window and you're seeing, oh, look, there's Brazil. And the lower decks are all, decks where you can look at things or have dinner or things like that. So you're sitting by the windows because you're going to be very close to the cities. You'll just be over the cities.
Okay. I mean, there's certain things we can talk about and worry about and consider. That is not a real possibility.
I mean, they were considering that in a documentary with Bruce Willis.
That's not a real thing.
What they wanted to do was destroy the
asteroid. No, that's not a real thing. Now I've just lost it. Shoot, I just lost the story.
I mean,
wanted to show you the picture. I'm telling you, I don't even know what. It's crazy. Everything that's going on is just crazy.
Well, I mean, we're in a period where now Tesla is more valuable than Ford.
Right.
Tesla
makes sense to
more valuable than Ford.
Makes total sense to me.
Well,
part of that seems surprising to you.
Well, Ford sells 30 times the amount of cars.
Right.
That would be number one. Mm-hmm. 30 times the amount of cars you'd think potentially.
Which one do you think has the potential of really being huge in the future?
Well, Tesla obviously has that done, and they do a great job with what they do. The article goes on to talk about how. And this is, by the way, market cap, stock market.
Yeah.
It goes on to talk about how really Tesla's much more than a car company. They're doing
battery
so company. Many different things. Mm-hmm. And so many, as we've talked with Elon Musk, we spent some time on that today. A lot of things that are really visionary. And the good thing about Elon Musk, if you like what he does, is he doesn't mind blowing a bunch of his money. I'm sure he minds it, but he doesn't mind risking it on something that probably will never come to fruition.
What is he wasting where it probably will never come to fruition? Give me an example.
Well, I mean, never is probably
trip to Mars.
Oh, that's going to come to fruition.
It probably won't.
Yeah, it will.
Not in his lifetime.
Yeah, it will.
No.
2025.
I don't believe that.
I do. We'll see.
We'll see.
We'll see.
I'm just saying.
Why don't you guys fight it out?
Shiv you so fast.
Let me rephrase
you have a
so
shiv.
We.
I got one in the cafeteria.
Let me rephrase so we don't avoid the "oh yeah, I'll be right in 2025" arguments. Okay. The point is, he's willing to take incredible risks that most businessmen won't take on bets on the future that might be low percentage of immediate return.
You another one. Hyperloop won't happen. Too expensive.
That one may not happen. One may not happen. But
he's interested in
technology. Won't happen.
But what technology? That one might. What technology comes out of that? That he gets rich on
bank
the
tubes.
Hyperloop.
Bank tubes come out of that.
No, I don't.
Or it's already happened.
No, I don't. I don't think it's bank tubes.
We don't know. Right.
Yeah, we don't know. There's going to be something.
We don't know.
His rocket ship to SpaceX and all of that stuff. Yeah. Remember what, the Apollo project. Yeah, we went to the moon, and that was really, really cool. But we also got microwaves out of that, microwave
GPS.
Repeaters. We got
Tang.
GPS.
Cell phone technology.
Tang, yeah.
Yeah, Tang's the big one.
It's an incredibly inefficient way of making Tang. However,
yes,
they did get Tang out of it. Yes.
Right.
Actually, I've read that that's not actually
I don't think
true.
It's true. It's I don't think it true. Is either.
No.
But it sounds
Tang
good.
Didn't come from NASA.
No, but we got a lot from
it was
a
popularized.
Lot from the space program.
The upside down writing ballpoint pen.
Yeah, the Fisher
right.
pen.
NASA.
Yes.
Again,
thank
you. That's most people would just try to make the pen. If you want
just
the pen.
Saying.
Right. No, you're right. There are other things that come from these technologies, and that's part of the calculus that goes into these investments.
Yeah.
But he's obviously like, if I'm worth $25 billion one day, the Hyperloop doesn't work and I'm worth 24, I'm okay with that. He's obviously making those sorts of calculations.
Right. I love
and
that.
Because he's a guy who also believes, he's a big environmentalist guy, he's been able to advance environmentalism And battery technology and all these things.
Yeah, see,
far beyond what other people were able to do.
Personally, instead of everybody else puts money into buying a bunch of people in Washington to go politic to get, you know, green stuff done, I like the fact that he's putting his money into, I'm gonna create the battery, which will create the car that will get rid of carbon fuels, with the exception of I have to plug it in, and the power plant is burning a whole bunch of coal, so
that's the next problem. I mean, part of that is what he's doing with the batteries you're putting in your garage and storing theoretically solar energy throughout the day when it's light outside, and then you can power your house at night. There's a lot of things here.
If he just changes the battery, if that's all that Tesla ever does is change the battery, and he's the winner on that, he is. He'll never have to worry about anything else ever again.
I think he's probably already there, but...
And on the same front...
Well, if you could live on $24 billion.
Don't think I have it in here or not, if I put it
in
the prep.
I'd like to try.
Now Amazon, as a company, is bigger than Walmart, Target, and CVS, and two of the other top stores combined.
I believe that.
Combined!
We buy everything from them.
I do, at least.
I do.
It's the biggest line item in my budget.
We buy books, a lot of products movies, from those other videos, companies, though. Toothpaste, furniture, you name it. I can buy anything from them, and I do. We buy everything from Amazon.
It's incredible, and you know, now we have this.
They are the Sears Roebuck of 1890 or 1900. They are the Sears catalog of today. And Sears used to have everything.
And that's what you do. I mean, you just buy the things. Like, you know, we have here in Dallas, and a lot of cities have this, if you don't live near one, the Amazon Prime Now, where, like, you order something, and it's about an hour, it's at your house.
Yeah.
That was not thought to be possible. Not that it wasn't thought to be possible, but wasn't thought to be probable very recently. Like, well, that's space age stuff.
That's why when Pat says these things aren't going to happen, I don't know what's going to happen, what's not going to happen, but don't dismiss these things. I mean, really, all of these things were crazy. We spent yesterday, about an hour in my office just talking about artificial intelligence and going over the specs of artificial intelligence. You know, 4 or 5 years ago when I was talking on the air, remember we bought our first 3D printer? And I said, look, you're going to be able to print anything. Nobody believed it until a year later we printed a gun, a working gun. And there was like, oh, crap, I guess you can.
What am I resisting?
Yeah, that's,
I don't know. I'm not sure.
That was a year. Now we're talking about crazy, crazy things. Mm-hmm. Yesterday we talked about the contact lenses that, you know, you're going to be able to, just by blinking, you'll be able to zoom in. So people with macular degeneration or macular dystrophy, they're going to be able to just put a contact lens in. And if I'm having a hard time and I need to zoom in on something, I just blink and it will zoom in. Blink again and it zooms out. Another one is
macular degeneration. That's what I'd be using it for.
Or you can use it as a creepy spy technology.
They said in five years, you're going to be able to have things like night vision. I mean, night vision, you don't buy night vision goggles now. You can't buy night vision goggles. That's military grade stuff.
You can buy it, can't you?
I don't think you can buy, at least maybe there's a military grade.
There's a military grade.
You can't buy the military grade. You can't buy real night vision.
I mean, I'm seeing them.
I don't.
There's some basic stuff that's on the cheaper side, but there's one here for $20,000. That's got to be pretty good.
What'd you say? Grade. Yeah, it probably is. Then.
I mean,
you know. I don't think you used to be able. Like the guys go over. The guys who go over in Iraq, you're not buying what the military is selling because we don't sell it because. We can paint our soldier. For instance, you can go and put a target on people, and it stays on people. and you're painting them, and you can't see it unless you're wearing night vision goggles.
I'm sure what they have is much better than what you can purchase, you know, on the open market. But I know that there are restrictions, even on the stuff that's commercial grade, to bring it over to other countries and give to, you know, even allies, because the, you know, they're worried about that technology spreading and things. So I mean, that's stuff we've all heard of and seen.
Yeah, wait.
I mean, God only knows they have, man. Why, imagine what they actually have that we don't know about yet already.
No.
Okay, he doesn't want to think about it. Okay,
so here you go, Stu.
I don't want to. What the government has, I'm excited about stuff Silicon Valley comes up with. I am not excited about what the government has.
No, I know. I'm not. I didn't say I was excited about it. I said I didn't mean imagine in this wonderful John Lennon way. I meant in like a terrifying way.
No.
Okay.
Not going to.
Stu, you were right. I stand correct. I didn't think you were right. As of the first of the year, Walmart, Target, Best Buy, Macy's, Kohl's, Nordstrom's, JCPenney, and Sears, $297.8 billion.
Combined?
Amazon, $355.9 billion.
I mean, that's not the same combination of places that I heard, but I mean, incredible.
Incredible.
Walmart, how many times do you, like, if someone
that's
was to incredible. Say to you, Walmart,
now,
is,
Walmart
the,
is the biggest in, yeah, the, in yeah. the.
But if someone were to say to you, Walmart is the biggest company in the world or the third biggest company in the world, that totally feels normal to me.
Sure does.
Right? Like, and that was fairly recently. And I know Apple and Exxon were up there for a while, like, you know, getting a little bit bigger. Man, that's, I know it's the biggest, still one of the biggest employers in the world, but Amazon is also becoming one of the biggest employers in the world. And
stunning.
You know, it is really incredible how fast that happens and how much I depend on that stupid website that used to just sell me books. That stupid book website is basically approximately 70% of my expenditures. Everything. Every time I think of something that I need, let me just get it on Amazon and send it to the house.
So let's look at something. Look how much things are changing. Look what's on the horizon. Look how Amazon has changed just in the last 5 years. Okay, it was a books. It put booksellers out, and you're like, "Wow, Amazon booksellers! It's gonna put everybody out." Okay, so look how much that's changed. And then let me give you this story: outrage has grown at Walter Reed Middle School in North Hollywood as school faces layoffs and increased class sizes due to a law limiting funds for schools with higher white student body. The Los Angeles Unified School District provides funding for schools where the white population is below 30%. In a letter to parents, the district noted the highly regarded middle school had been above the percentage for the last couple of years.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
So they got to cut the funding.
Why don't they just round up some of the white kids and put them in a concentration camp somewhere?
Instead of the school?
Well,
you know, and you maybe have a teacher at the concentration camp, but at least those white kids are away from society.
Oh, I hope
you don't
thank
want them
you.
In polite society.
Oh, man.
Bunch of white kids?
I mean, think
oh
of it. So what
you
I'm
can't
saying
fund
is,
that?
Look at the juxtaposition.
Oh, it's crazy.
It's crazy. We are so far ahead.
It's unbelievable.
In everything. And yet we're acting like Neanderthals when it comes to race and social construction.
I mean, there's too many white,
I mean, it's
too
crazy.
Many white people.
Yeah, there's way too
clearly
many white
it's too many white people.
Way too many white people.
Man,
I hate white
sick
people.
Sick of white people.
Oh, me too.
I hate
you too?
Yeah.
Oh, I
so
like
much privilege.
Guys, you guys
so much
are,
privilege.
I don't
everything's
know if you
handed
know
to
know
them.
That you're
white people.
You're
all
hate
white people.
Oh, you're all them. White.
They're always doing like all that pumpkin stuff around October. It's all them.
Right.
It's all them. It's all the white.
That pumpkin spice stuff.
Yeah, pumpkin spice. Shut up with your pumpkin stuff.
White people.
Oh, God, these white people.
They suck.
Well, now that you brought that up, I mean, they are Yankee candles.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
See?
So, but let me just point
people.
Out again that you guys, including me, we're all white. Although I'm identifying as a Hispanic.
Yeah, I'm not white.
Today.
No.
And a horse.
The Glenn Beck Program.
Does this piss anybody else off?
What?
These stories. I've seen this twice now. Americans paid a record of $540 billion, $701 million in property taxes to state and local governments in fiscal 2016.
I paid over half of that myself.
Right. You know, it
that
really,
I actually so this, believe.
This is not good. This is not good. This is not something
not
we should
good.
Be celebrating.
Right.
Because what city is functioning? Which one's living within this means?
None of them.
None.
This is the Glenn Beck Program. Mercury.